And we welcome you inside the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast on this Monday. Sam Cementi here with you alongside the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. And Jill, God damn it, the Kings are doing it again. They're doing it again to us. Just as we had lost hope, we'd written them off. We were planning to have this depressing Monday podcast where we were going to talk about the next couple coaching candidates to come into Sacramento next year and just turn the page on the 2021 season. They went ahead and beat the Clippers twice in a row and did it so pretty soundly both times. They had a lot of contributions from different guys that had been struggling, aka Terrence Davis. And now we're right back in this thing. You know, we were never really out.
The three games, right? For the week, they went 2-1.
Yeah.
But they actually did it a little bit differently this time. Their defensive rating for the week was magic number 15, which was what they've been trying to get. But you know what's interesting? Their defensive rating was just slightly worse than their offensive rating, which is usually, I mean, it had been pretty, because their offensive rating had kind of started dropping, right? And so it picked back up a little bit. And their net rating between the two dropped a little bit. So that's, I mean, it's a little bit better. But, you know, their magic number, right, was for defense was 15. So at least for the week, they can say they hit it.
They did it.
And I felt like that kind of kept them in games a little bit more. If your offensive rating is going to be 106, that's not all that great, right? Mm-hmm. For this kind of team of what they expect, right? What they expect to do. And so having a defensive rating of 110 compared to where they were last year at like 116, 118, you know, way up there, is a little bit better because Charlotte Hornets, right? Who went 1-2 for the week at number 30, their defensive rating was 126. So that's a, you know, pretty big difference between teams, and it's, you know, they went against some better teams, right? So it was nice to see them actually, you know, hold it down. Even if one was without Paul George and one was with, they still did what they were supposed to do, which is what we ask, right? Do what you're supposed to do.
They won a home game. It seemed like they just did not want to win it at Golden One, but they got their fourth win at Golden One, their second in a row. They've won 4 of 6. Gentry's now above 500 in his 7 games, 4-3. And the craziest thing of all, Jill, is, and it's way too early to be looking at the standings ridiculously early, but we love to do that as Kings fans. Any little glimmer of hope. They're 1 game out of the play-in, so the 10th seed, but then they're 2 games out of the 5th seed, which is currently occupied by the Clippers.
And what's so funny is normally, like, we're making fun of the Eastern Conference, right? Like, they have quite a few over, you know, that are around 500 and over. In the West, it's opposite. Granted, like, there were more, right? I mean, you had Denver, who completely lost almost their whole starting lineup, you know, for a game or two. And, you know, some are actually prolonged for the rest of the year. And so, I mean, as we know, injuries happen, and so you're having to see people work that out. The Lakers were having issues, right? And then you had James in and out of the lineup. So, yeah, and then you had a team like Minnesota who popped up, right? I mean, it's
and they've lost a couple.
We were
in
saying
a row now.
How much 2 weeks can kind of change things. I mean, and the Kings had a week of good basketball. We'll see what this. This week is kind of weird because they finally had like days off compared to like a bunch of games in a row when they were flying to and back. And, you know, that whole schedule was so weird. Why wouldn't you have them travel now to like Memphis and come back? You know what I mean? When you have like 7 days off, like, it's just weird.
Cause that makes too much
and
sense.
And so there's not many games totally right now leading up to the 15th. Like, I mean, to where you're kind of feeling one
way
or
the
other.
Yeah. Do we feel good about that?
My only worry is how the front office thinks. I don't know if they think this is a mirage or if they actually believe this is like they're seeing what they thought. And that's what kind of like scares me, because to me, all they show is that they're still consistently inconsistent, even though we did have a little good stretch after a really bad one. So it's like, you know, but Gentry, you know, is getting his practice time for the first time. And, you know, a lot of the players are telling you it's not completely different, right? Which you wouldn't totally expect because he'd been here. But you do think that there are some little things that he would probably, you know, any coach would want to, you know, something that they maybe was an idea that was turned down or, you know, something along the way to where he can at least take over a little bit. But I mean, and sometimes practice just helps with the little things.
Yeah.
And so
there's a little continuity.
It's hard to know. Yeah. And so I was trying to find, okay. So for the Kings wins this year, this is nuts. Their offensive rating is 117. Okay. 117.8. What do you think their losses, their offensive rating is in their
98
in their L's 101. Like that's a big difference. That's a 16 point difference. So their net rating in defense for wins 108, respectable.
Yeah.
I mean,
the modern NBA,
you know, it's, we would like it to be better, but it's respectable. I mean, for wins, right?
Right.
And for, if you can keep that in your losses as well, you're at 15. But because of their losses, they're 113. That's, again, you're hitting that that middle ground, and that still puts you at like 22 or whatever for the year. So it's, again, improvement. You're not 30, right? But still, you know, that's an issue. But yeah, that offense on wins and losses is, I mean, that's not close.
Yeah, we know that
their defensive rating is not that far off, but their offense is, geez.
We know when things are clicking and guys are contributing like they should be. Like, again, I mentioned him in the beginning, Terrence Davis, 28 points, finally had that game. Monty McNair got to tweet a gif of Terrence Davis, like celebrating because he was hyped that Davis finally showed up for him.
And he hit him, right? Yeah. And so the other thing where I gave you the offensive and defensive rating for wins and losses, the 3-point percentage for wins is 39%. What do you think it is for losses?
27.8.
Nice. Again, that's a big,
these are guesses too for me.
That's a big difference. So like,
yeah, it's not a coincidence.
Like if
it's not a coincidence.
I mean, it's, and hence why your offensive rating is probably 101 at that point. Because in losses, you're just like completely taking yourself out. And their 3-point attempts are only, it's only a one attempt difference. But the makes are 14 compared to 9.8.
How many attempts are they?
Field goal percentage, again, way off.
How many 3-points are they attempting a game right now?
A game, let's see, 35.6 is their average right now.
Okay. I feel like that might be around
and
the average.
They're making 11.6. They're making 32%.
Yeah.
That's where it would drop. Like the, what they're taking probably is average. What they're making is
give me above.
And if you're a small team, like that can't happen.
Yeah. To, backtrack just a sec here and look at the West. The West and the East really right now, early on, they mirror each other in terms of how the 7th through 10th seeds are playing, like their records. In the West, though, Dallas is 7th. They're 11-11. Jason Kidd, obviously new coach. A lot of people had concerns about how exactly he would fare in his second go-around head coaching. Of course, Doncic is Doncic, but the team as a whole has been pretty up and down, which is why you come out at, you know, 500 in 22 games. They've lost two straight. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Denver's miraculously at 500, given all the injuries. Minnesota's 11-12. They had the jump. And then at the 10th seed, currently ahead of the Kings, is a team that is apparently self-destructing from the inside. They've already started to turn on their head coach. Their star player wants to go. That's the Blazers, 11-13. That was another team that this offseason when they hired Billups, people were like, I don't know about that. That's interesting. You went from Terry Stotts, a very well-respected seasoned coach who had won some big games for Portland, taken him to a Western Conference final, and you bring in Chauncey Billups who had no head coaching experience and had only been an assistant for a couple years. So the teams, all that to say, the teams currently ahead of the Kings that realistically they could maybe get ahead of, none of them are in a good position themselves right now. They're not coasting at the moment. The Lakers aren't either at 6, and the Clippers, again, they beat twice in a row at 5. They can catch that team as well, potentially. This is me getting way too excited.
No, and if you look at all 30, the Kings are 23rd right now in terms of wins out of the 30 teams. And you have the Pacers, Spurs, Rockets, Pelicans, Thunder, Magic, and Pistons below them.
Yeah.
To me, shout out to those the Rockets are the kind too. Of teams. If you're going to maybe take a swing at something, it would be trying to find something out of maybe one of those. If there's something worth grabbing, which I think there are from, right, the Pacers, right, from the Pelicans, like the Rockets, like there are pieces that you can grab. Now, if you're going the other way and you're looking at selling, you have 22 teams in front of you that are, you know, that would take some role players, right? if you're going of, if you're not completely selling off, but just getting rid of some of the bigger contracts, but keeping Fox, there's plenty of options, right? And then you have a team like Denver, who's in desperate need of
somebody that
of some wings after all their wings have dropped. So you know what? And their wing that, you know, was being shopped kind of in talks last year as well, just set his career record at the New York Knicks in a game at the Garden. So Najee Marshall. So it's Marshall, but I think Najee is the one on the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Is it Zeke?
He might be. Yeah, that's not his last name though, is it? For the talking about the guy on the Nuggets.
What is it?
It's a name. It's a last name that I can't really pronounce.
Yeah,
I'm thinking Najee or something like that.
It's Zeke Najee. Okay, Najee, so I had it mixed up. Najee Marshall is Pelicans. Zeke Najee is
right.
Is the
it's been
6'9" forward. So
it's been a wildly inconsistent theme for a lot of NBA teams. The Kings are not alone in that sense. To maybe talk a little bit about the second Clippers game. The first one, as you said, Jill, they didn't have Paul George. So it was nice that they won, but I don't think any Kings fans were overly excited about it, because it's one of those games where it's like, yeah, you should win this game when their best player is not there. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's not going to play the whole season. So you're playing a lot of solid vets on a Clipper team, you know, that didn't have the star. But now on Saturday when they played, you were playing Paul George in a full for their season, this season. That was their full roster. And you handled them very well, start to finish. You held off the run that came late in the game that you knew was going to come at some point. Terrence Davis had 6 threes, if I'm remembering correctly, 28 points. Halliburton looked like he was wanting to shoot more. You know, we know that he has the green light. Gentry told him and has told the media, I want him to shoot. He's got my blessing to shoot. He's just been hesitant. Didn't look hesitant in the game. And what really surprised me is looking at the stat sheet. Rashawn Holmes had 1 point and 6 rebounds. He did not really play it well.
3 attempts or something. Well, and it was like, it's not that he didn't play well. Like, he didn't get the attempts though.
That's true.
But he also didn't need it. Like, what was crazy is his attempts in the first half, I think he had one, but he still led the team in plus minus. He wasn't hurting them. So that's like the thing is, to me, you need to get him more, but I think the guards were actually making so much stuff for they once were. That it was like,
yeah.
I
you
mean,
didn't need him. And that's working. What I'm saying
and,
is a positive.
And you saw, Halliburton and Fox actually showed they could play together, right? Again.
Halliburton had a double-double. Fox had 24. Half. Oh, sorry. That was the previous game. That was the wrong Clipper game.
Yeah. Halliburton having 14 attempts. He didn't drop them off to Holmes, right? Like, where normally half of those are you know, lob attempts to Holmes. So
4 of 8 from three.
Yeah, which we like.
Davis did have 6 threes, made all his free throws. He was +3. And then Bagley, to give credit where credit is due, Bagley did have a double-double, brought some energy, earned some more praise from Gentry, in which he then reciprocated back, talking about how much he's enjoyed playing under Gentry and saying nice things. And you pointed out, though, Jill, before we came on, that that's a lot of just Bagley making sure he says the right things.
I think he's doing what he's supposed to be
yeah,
doing,
he's,
right?
He's, like, he's being a pro for once. Which is nice. A little late, you know, but
yeah.
You know,
and it's the questions that are being asked too. You know what I mean? Like, he's to me, he's answering exactly how you would expect a guy who's now getting minutes, right? And a shot. And it's great he's playing well. We all know how he feels. He's made it known like what his desires of to be here, to not be here are. But the best thing for the Kings is that he's producing. He's playing. Producing, and that's all you should want as a Kings fan, right? Like, because either it's going to work here if a trade doesn't materialize, or maybe you can get something a little bit more, right? Because he's producing now. So, I don't think anything's really changed.
Behind the scene wise.
I've seen people saying they think it has just based on this, and I don't. I think there's still way too much.
I think this has been strategic.
You know, that's go on, but it's
Carmichael Dave.
Everyone just be happy it's working.
Yes. Enjoy that. Carmichael Dave, who's obviously very in touch with what goes on with the Kings, tweeted out this morning that it is far, far in all caps, more likely that Marvin, his agent, and Monty had put together some sort of meeting where they agreed that they would play him more to hopefully get that rock bottom, as he says, value up. He says, don't buy into some sort of Disney miracle turnaround, which is a good way of putting it. Props to Marvin for playing well, but he's gone. Pretty definitive. Not he's most likely gone, but, you know, Carmichael Dave saying, I think he's gone, and this is more so to increase his value and hopefully get the Kings more in return and get Marvin. You know, this is a Marvin showcase for the next couple of weeks, for the next 9 days at least. And he, to his credit, he's gotten a lot better from when the showcase started in Detroit when Luke was still the head coach and he didn't do anything in that game.
I think he's playing within himself too. You're not seeing anything forced. He's playing. He was 4 of 6. I don't feel like he's taking any like ill-advised shots. He didn't have any assists last game, but we've seen him actually, you know, look forward a little bit more in the last couple games. His defense,
getting better.
If you look at his hips, like, and this is what was interesting to me, is a lot of the things that Doug Christie used to point out during games, to me, you're seeing, I don't want to say fixed, but you're seeing it look better, right? So whether that's Doug working with him or Mike or whatever, but to me, you can actually see fundamental like
improvements.
That look better. So kudos to all involved for
Rico
however
Hines.
However that's happened. But though there's only two new people, right, under that have joined, that you know, we're seeing some of the fundamental changes. So sure. I would assume it's Doug or Mike. And we've heard Doug has been working with him one-on-one a lot. So I don't want to totally give him credit not knowing, but just reading between the lines, like all we've heard is they seem to be working well together. So, you know, kudos to however it's transpired, but you're seeing it look fundamentally better, which is cool to see, you know, and that's something that a young player just getting minutes again and progression that you would hope that happens. You know, so
he had the best plus,
we'll see
plus minus of anyone on the Kings bench in that last game, plus 9, and led the bench in scoring. Buddy had 10, he had 12 and 11 rebounds, first double double of his season. You know, that guy can do that. That's a huge selling point for Marvin's value, is if you play him enough and you get him involved enough, or he decides he wants to be involved enough, he's a walking double double. He is. Does he play defense? Will he pass the ball? No, probably not. At least consistently. He is still, in my opinion, a rather selfish player.
Yeah. And the thing is, you need the double doubles to mean something, right? And right now they're meaning something, which is awesome. Just like people always used to say, Fox, your 30's great, but we need it to mean something. Mm-hmm. You know, at the beginning of the year, it was, oh, it's meaning something, but you're only getting 15. Now you need it to, you know, come on. So like with anyone, it's, you can put up the numbers, but as a whole, we need it to see something. And so far we're doing that. And I think, you know, we're wondering how Gentry is going to work the lineup, you know, when everybody's back.
Right.
But again, he showed kind of like going with the hot hand, like in Dave, where Davis got 28 minutes and Buddy got 20. I was perfectly fine with that because, you know what I mean? Like Davis earned it that game. Right. And so I appreciate that. You saw Bagley get more minutes than Lennon Thompson. Right. And here and that, but yeah, it was nice to see that even in the smaller minutes, like the distribution, like it was working. Right. Like, again, it showed that you could piece people in where you need to piece in and it can work. So again, who knows what happens when Barnes and Harkless come back, because all of this is happening while they're out. And we know at least Barnes, that's a significant person Barclays, on this team that's eating minutes. And if you're, you know, and they were bouncing Marvin back between the three and four, and that ate up some of Bagley's minutes at the four. So, it worked out for Marvin while Harrison's out, that he's been able to kind of showcase himself again. So
Davis also had some talking about him playing a little bit more than Buddy in that game down the stretch. He did also have several clutch buckets as the Clippers drew close. He had a three that was huge, that extended their lead. He drove in, hit a floater that made the lead five. And then he eventually hit what was kind of the icing on the cake, corner three on a beautiful kick out from Haliburton. So he kept them at arm's length from the Clippers. And it, you know, that's a credit to Gentry for sticking with him instead of going to Buddy, which I don't think that's complicated coaching. I've always been a believer in you play the hot hand. It's not something to overthink.
You know,
each game's different.
And you know what was nice too, is I know Clippers went really small at one point too, right? It was like, I feel like Paul George at one point was like the tallest person on the Clippers. But what's something that we keep saying that the Kings guards need to do? Rebound, right? Davis had four. Haliburton had six. Fox had eight. Buddy had three. That like you saw
they got involved.
The guards who had, you know, guards playing wings, etc. Especially if you're going against another smaller team, like win those rebounds, which they did. So, you know, that's not always easy to do when you're going against taller guys. So,
and Fox has
were able to do it
progressively gotten better. I saw a stat somewhere on Twitter. I don't have it on me, but just comparing his games with Gentry over the games with Walton, and it was not huge, but a clear difference in, you know, his attacking, his field goal percentage. He's playing more loose, I think. It's simpler, it seems, for Fox on the court right now without Walton, which I don't know why that is, because it's not like Walton didn't seem like they were running anything complex with Walton, but I just feel like he feels a little bit more free for some reason. Gentry's definitely encouraging him to push.
Yeah, well, and I feel like with running, he's even getting some more mid-range, which was one of my things that I wanted him to see, you know, start going back to the mid-range. That's what he did so well for so many years. And you started seeing that go away, where it was either like at the rim or a three. And there's no reason for that, especially with him. And so I think running it up, you're even seeing him times where he's stop and pop, like it, you know what I mean? And they're good shots and in the flow. So whatever it is, just keep going. And it'll be interesting to see what it looks like on Wednesday, you know, and
the
next couple games after the rest. You know, sometimes that goes, you know, good and bad when you have too much rest. But just seeing if we see anything new based on having practices and, you know, things like that. If there's going to be anything totally different.
And one last note before we move to a little different segment. The free throw attempts, I don't know the exact numbers, how much they've jumped, but I know for a fact that they have gotten higher under Gentry, which is not a surprise considering that they're attacking more. They're going at the rim more. They should be getting more attempts from the free throw line. But last game against the Clippers, they were 20 of 25, 25 attempts. And it seemed like for a long time with Walton, they struggled to get past like 15 attempts of a game. Sometimes they wouldn't even have 10. You know, they weren't getting to the line, getting those easy free points. They weren't coming. Now they seem to be coming for him, and they're making them. 20 out of 25 is a pretty solid percentage for a game. Davis was perfect from the line. Bagley was perfect from the line. That's encouraging because that's just such a simple thing in a game that the Kings were not doing in the past.
Yeah, and I know James Hamm mentioned this. I think it was on D'Lo and Casey and not his own podcast, but he was saying that after the Lakers game, that he didn't really call it like a players only meeting, but it was essentially like the players came together. And it was very open dialogue and conversation on personal accountability and, like, you know, having more pride in what they're doing. So will it, you know,
stay with them,
mean anything? Well, we saw them go 2-1, like, great. And like you said, it could last a week. It could last a couple weeks. It could last for a while. Like, you just don't know, but you know what, like, but that's
right away.
You should be having that kind of open dialogue and accountability on. It was a, if we want to keep this thing going, this is what we have to do. Otherwise we're getting another coach fired and we're all, you know, and we're getting traded. Like it's make or break time here. So,
you would have thought that conversation would have came before Walton's dismissal, but yeah, I guess better late than never. Okay.
Well, you never know with these guys though. I mean, you know what I mean? Like their communication has gotten coaches fired and gotten coaches saved. So it's like, fair. I mean,
yeah,
maybe they thought that it wasn't, oh, we've heard this, you know, he could be fired multiple times. It'll never happen. Well, it did. So maybe that was a wake up call in that sense too, that it didn't matter what you guys were saying that you liked him or not. It wasn't working. So he's gone. And they've never had that kind of scenario where they had it, where it seemed to be working, but they weren't happy with it. And so, you know, he was gone, where now it was the, well, we know we're not producing, but we like the guy and we want him here. So, that point, like, it didn't matter.
Again, just the ridiculous concept of your coach needs to be your buddy. No, your coach needs to be your coach. He needs to do his job. You don't need to be, you know, such good pals. I don't care about that personally. All right, fact or fiction, Jill. We haven't done this little segment in a while, but with everything going on with the Kings, the win streak, if you can even call it that. Well, it is technically. And then all the drama prior to it. There's a lot of good little storylines that we can do fact or fiction on, true or false, as we approach the December 15th potential trade openings. Get that ball rolling. So the first one that I'll ask you first is, and then I'll give my two cents on it. Fact or fiction, Gentry will be able to get this Kings team to 500 or better. This is just by the end of the year.
Fact with the same team or with changes?
Just, you know, that's the thing with fact or fiction. They're ambiguous in purpose. That's a good point. I'm going to say not the same team, because I don't believe they'll be the same team by the end of the year. That doesn't seem likely. Are they going to add talent, trade talent? We don't know that. So, this is more, again, just a hunch.
I'm going to go with fact. There's going to be some changes made and maybe it'll be for the better.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm still being optimistic because I'm just asking you to be average.
I'm not asking much.
I'm not asking for the world.
Yeah. And the Kings have yet, despite that.
And that's the sad thing. Like, that's not even asking playoffs anything. That's just, hey, let's get a 500 season, which we haven't had since, you know, Adelman.
It's crazy to think. I don't remember the last 500 season. That's how long it's been, because I would have been like 8 years old. Yeah, I agree. I think fact. I think McNair, you know, he feels a little bit of the heat. He wants to get better. He thinks Gentry can help this team win games, especially if they keep playing at the style that they've been kind of, you know, getting towards. I think they can definitely get to 500, if not a game or two above, definitely be in the play in that circumstance.
Now, we're also very aware if they sell everything off.
That it's going to not be the same.
But we don't think, they're going to do a complete sale.
No.
But
I think they're going to tweak the margins of this roster, maybe trade one of the big contract guys. But there's so much value.
The kind
in money.
Of move that they tried to do over the summer, right? Like I could see. And if you could come, if you get something like that back, then I do think it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second one, as we talk about trades, fact or fiction, Marvin Bagley, despite the recent success and, you know, him getting along with Gentry, he still will be the first one traded for the Sacramento Kings this year.
I would assume that would still be fact.
Yeah. I don't know who else would be the first pin to drop if they are starting to make trades.
Unless something else, Wednesday. You know, unless an offer presents itself that they can't refuse. Mm-hmm. I would assume that he would still, but he could still be part of that offer that can't be refused. But yeah, I think I would be surprised if multiple moves happen before him, but I mean, I would be surprised and not surprised in the same sense, because we all thought he was going to be gone last year too. So,
yeah.
And this summer and everything else, but based on what the tea leaves that we're getting, I would assume that he would be first. Yes.
Yes. I, again, also agree that that would probably be a fact, that the showcase is going on. It's getting a little bit better. Marvin's saying all the right things. His value is slowly tinkering up for the Kings, which is a win for them. But ultimately, he's going to the Eastern Conference, probably going to the Pistons. I'm staying on that train of him going to Detroit. I think Marvin.
They've been a consistent team that's been interested, right?
Yeah.
The last 2 years. So.
And they have no reason to not buy into a 23-year-old's upside when they're not intending to.
When they're still trying to go in those.
They're trying to find those diamond in the roughs, which Marvin, you know, number 2 overall pick, not really even a diamond in the rough. A guy that just needs a change of scenery. And then the last one for Fact or Fiction, Terrence Davis has finally found his groove. We think that this is going to stay, not necessarily 20 points a game, Jill, but he's found his rhythm. Fact or Fiction?
I'll say fact, but knock on wood, because I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping so. Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've seen 2 games of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know,
maybe you should just play the Clippers.
Like I said, when you're a microwave like that, you know, when it's hot, we hope it stays hot. I'm just hoping it's not too much of a break that it goes freezer.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm seeing from him where he's starting it by going to the rim, right? He's not
seeing the ball going.
He's still got his, you know, 11 shots from 3. But 5 of them also were at the other 5 were also at the rim. So, I mean, I like that he was, you know, he kind of made guys work a little bit harder than rather just sagging off and making them shoot the 3. And so I think that helps him. We've seen it before when he gets those kind of early baskets or dunks or, you know what I mean? Because he is athletic and he can get to the basket.
Freakishly athletic.
So, yeah.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
We don't want to jinx.
I'm saying fact too, but you made the point, the accurate assumption that, you know, he is a microwave player. So will it be perfectly sustainable? Will he not have some roller coaster games? Yeah, those are going to come, you know, just like Buddy. They're very similar players. Davis is a better athlete, a better defender, but in terms of how they score and the volume in which they score, they're very in line with one another, which is why when it wasn't working for both of them, they were on the court together. It was a disaster because they weren't doing their jobs. But I think he's definitely finding some confidence. He feels a little bit better. He feels freer again, kind of like Fox. The pressure, for whatever reason, because I don't think Luke Walton was putting pressure on them, but the pressure seems to have lessened. And it looks like they're playing like that.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
In the 2 games where, you know, these last 2 games where he did go off, both games he had 5 at the basket. So
yeah,
to me, like, just
the gimmies, keep
mixing it in and out. And I think that'll continue to help him. Don't just shoot the 3s.
Yeah.
He's better than that.
They need that. They definitely need that on this team. They need to start knocking down their 3s, but I've been vouching for
them. Do what gets you hot first and then.
Yeah. And then I've been saying that I don't want them to live or die by the 3 like they did so often with Walton, because it's just a flawed philosophy. And they've started to get away from that. 35 a game. Again, I don't know.
They're 16 or 17 out of the 15.
Okay.
So they're one attempt off of 15.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say they have to be middle of the pack in that, because that's not,
it's just the makes
a ton, and it's not, you know, not that like two, yeah, two,
their,
two less.
Their attempts is fine. Little. It's the banks that are costing them. So,
and Davis, I feel like every one of the 3s he had in that game were like, yeah, you definitely take those shots. You know, they were open. He had space. He was
they were
in rhythm.
The flow.
Yeah. They were in the flow. It's a good way of putting it. All right. So fact or fiction there, we're going facts across the board. I guess I made those too easy. Gentry will get the team to 500 or better. We're saying that's a fact. Hopefully Bagley will be the first one.
They weren't easy, because you could easily like say the opposite and give reasons why. Like,
yeah,
I think they were okay. We're just choosing to be optimist.
We are choosing to be optimistic.
We're choosing to be optimistic.
I'll go on record and saying I'll be shocked if Marvin Bagley isn't the first King to be traded. That's too obvious.
After all this. Yeah.
After all this. But let's enjoy Marvin while we have him. You know, I've loved the reaction around Kings media and Kings fans, like the love that Marvin's got. You've said it, Jill. He didn't choose to come here. He didn't ask to be put on this such a microscope and be compared to all these other great players of that draft. He didn't ask for that. He just wanted to play ball.
I think, like, I don't even like, people are going to like him or not like him, but as long as he's wearing a Kings jersey, like, you should be rooting for any of them to succeed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Eddie, if you don't
take out your personal bias, I mean, it's, if they're wearing a Sacramento jersey, like, you should want them to succeed, because you can, in the same sense, saying I want you to fail and then be pissed at the team for failing. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't work. Yeah. I mean,
it is despite, you know, some teams playing the superstar ball, it is a team game. You know, they don't have a LeBron or someone that could just totally dominate and the rest of the team can go kick rocks and you probably still win. They have to play team basketball. That's how their roster is constructed. They're a small market team. That's what you got to do. So Marvin's playing his role right now. It's looking good. The Kings are looking better again, 10-14. And now we're going to wrap this Monday show up by looking now ahead. And I'm happy to look ahead now. I'm not painfully looking at what the schedule, you know, has for them. I'm a little excited because Orlando is their next matchup on Wednesday after their little mini camp that they get with Gentry in Sacramento. They don't have to travel. They're playing Orlando at Golden One Center. 5-19 Orlando Magic, complete rebuild mode, rookie head coach, rookies all over playing. We get to see Franz Wagner play for the first time in person. He's an exciting rookie, getting a lot of love on social media.
Him prove a lot of people wrong, right?
Yeah. No, they had a great draft. Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner in the top 10. Seems like they pretty much nailed that. I don't think they have Markelle Fultz back yet, if I'm mistaken. I think he's still out.
Nope.
But
no,
they have
Jonathan Isaac, no Fultz.
Yeah, no, Isaac's still recovering. Yeah. He had a pretty gruesome
I know
injury.
Gary Harris has been like in and out, so I'm not sure there. And I know Suggs had been in and out with is he out with a finger or wrist or something?
Yeah, I guess I should. Maybe too. I should have done more research. I know he had been missing some games. Mo Bamba's been staying healthy, though, which is great. He's a likable player.
He sat out for a game or two because of his back. But he's back again, which is awesome for him because he's been having. The Jalen Suggs fractured his right thumb and will be out an extended period of time.
Oh, that sucks.
They were guessing 2 weeks and that was on the 30th. So, but yeah, no, Bomb it like, and this is a career year for him, like with Bagley too. And he's one where, that if they ever didn't want to pay a guy, I mean, I don't know if that's the case or not. He's playing really well without Isaac. When Isaac comes back, I don't know if that will change anything for them, but if you could get him in some kind of deal, I mean, that's a young guy I'd be taking a gamble on.
Oh, absolutely.
His defense, and then he stretches the floor. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But again, I could see them, you know, after all that development, it's finally working maybe there. And there don't seem to be like any kind of sour, you know, a sour relationship between them, at least it's not public. But
yeah, Isaac has given some reasons to be, you know, turned against by those in the Orlando Magic organization, but there's been no indication that I've heard that that's happened yet. It helps to play in Florida, in Orlando, I suppose. Magic statistically 5-19, like I said, and they're the bottom, very bottom almost in almost every category, points per game, point differential, assists, steals. They're middle of the pack in blocks. You have Mo Bamba, that doesn't surprise anybody. And rebounds are pretty solid because they have some size. Franz Wagner is a huge dude playing 3-4, consistently for them.
Yeah. Cole Anthony has been going off for them.
Yeah. Cole Anthony was
really,
a great collegiate
player.
He's
really been their best point guard. I mean, he had good games last year, but he's taken a step this year, you know, and it helps. He's getting all the minutes, not having to play back up to Fultz too, you know, like he was.
And now Suggs
out.
Most
of the year last year and Suggs. So, but yeah, he's been by far the best point guard, I think, out of anybody, but
RJ,
you know, no surprise,
too.
It's a second year. Yep. RJ Hampton.
I'm a fan of RJ.
So they have some good young players.
Yeah. They have a lot of good young talent.
It's just, can they continue to grow it?
Yeah. So the point being there, I suppose, is there is overwhelming amount of young talent on the Magic. The Kings should still take care of business. You know, stop me if you've heard that from me before, Jill. I guess I shouldn't even say it at this point in the season. I should have learned my lesson, but
yeah.
There's
nothing with this team. There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as an easy
win. I already
knew
what you were meant.
Yeah. And all it takes is one of these young guys.
They? Yes. But have they earned that? No,
definitely no. Big fat no. These young guys can go off for the Magic. Cole Anthony being the prime example at any time. And Wagner, or Wagner. Is it Wagner? Do they do the V pronunciation?
Wagner. Yeah. And this is, they've only had one game where they've had more than 5 days of rest. So this will be,
this is weird.
Their second game of the season, right? They've had 16 games of 1 day's rest. So 0 day back to backs, they've had 4. 1 day's rest, they had 16. 2 days rest, 3. 5 days rest, one. So
they haven't won any of the back-to-backs, like both of those games, have they so far this year?
For back-to-backs, they're 2-2. For the 16 games of 1 day's rest, they're 4-12. Yeah. 2 days rest, 3-0. And 5 days rest, 1-0.
What was the 5 day rest?
The 1 day rest. They're 5 day rest, 1-0.
No, what was the game? Who did they play?
It doesn't. I'm just looking at days rest breakdown. It doesn't tell me who.
That's fine. It makes sense that you would play a little bit better when you get a chance to practice and work on some plays, and especially now with the head coach change. This is the first time they've had an extended time to work with Gentry and work out some kinks, or you know, work on closing out games, however you can simulate that in practice. So I'm excited to see how they come out of it. Practice today. I think they already did practice, and then they'll have practice again tomorrow. And then they go on the road, Jill, after playing the 5-19 Magic. I think the Magic might be the worst team or second to last in the East Conference. I have to look at that. But then they go on to Charlotte, who are the sixth seed currently in the East. They're 14-11. My Cavaliers, which I say my because I said that they could surprise people this year. And so far, I look like I'm actually pretty intelligent on that. They're 13-11, took the Jazz all the way down to the wire, lost by one yesterday to the Jazz at home. That was a great game. They're very similar in how they play, I think, to the Jazz. They're very defensive-oriented. They rely on their length, timely shots, threes at the appropriate time. They're just a fun team. If you haven't paid attention to the Cavaliers, you should definitely pay attention. Jarrett Allen is a fucking monster. Evan Mobley's only 20 years old and already seems like he's on the fast track to being a star. Darius Garland's finding himself now without Sexton on the court with him, which I don't think is a coincidence. I think Colin Sexton's always been kind of holding back Garland. And then they end this three-game road trip.
Completely different players, right?
They are.
Style-wise.
Yeah, I think Sexton needs to get shipped off somewhere else and let Garland just do his thing. And then they play Toronto again. I don't know if I'm yet over the last time I watched them play Toronto, but they'll play Toronto in Canada. And Toronto's 11-13. They've been, you know, kind of on a roller coaster themselves. They've had a lot of young guys in the lineup, a lot of turnover in Toronto in the past couple of years, but still a team, as they showed us the last time they played, that could easily kick our ass if we're not prepared. So it'll be a tough three-game road trip against two legitimate West or Eastern Conference threats, and then one team sitting on the outside just barely right now trying to get back into the playoff hunt, which talking about playoff hunts is silly in December, but
you know, if we get, you know, one or two of those players back.
Yeah, should be getting Barnes, I think.
It'll hopefully be interesting to see how the flow goes after, you know, like 2 weeks without them, or I think like a week and a half, 2 weeks type. There could be some rest there. So I would just say be smart and don't force, go with the game plan. Don't force anything. Just, you know, keep having everything be in flow, which I think they've been better about. So
some good defensive teams.
Again,
too.
Don't underestimate, right? Like, again, don't underestimate your opponent. Come out and do what you're supposed to do. And
yeah. Looking to the road trip.
I think their
trip.
Biggest thing is don't underestimate, right?
you have no reason to. Yeah. The road trip, though, they're going to play some good defensive teams. Hornets are not a good defensive team, but Cavaliers and Raptors are good defensive teams, and ones that, especially the Cavaliers, it's very hard to score them in the paint. They have way too much size and athleticism. You're going to have to rely on ball movement, making your outside shots. Yeah.
They go like three big. I mean, really, yeah, now Lowry, that everyone's Markkanen, healthy again.
Yeah,
you have between Mobley,
nine small forward,
Allen and Markkanen. Yeah,
I'm excited for that game. Three on the road, then back home for three. Then they go and play Detroit. They play Golden State. I don't even know why I would say Detroit. Golden State in San Francisco, and a game that Klay Thompson might be back for. That could be a slaughter. And then they have their longest homestand of the year. They play seven in a row. So they really, for most of December, after this road trip, they're going to be at home. Because you go to...
When does the home trip start?
December 22nd.
Okay, that could be some prime trade time frames of getting somebody in and while you're at home.
Let me put it like this. They have a home game after this three-game road trip Wednesday, December 15th, the day that we've been talking about, against the Wizards. Then with the exclusion of the Warrior game in San Francisco, so a bus ride away on Monday, December 20th, they won't play another road game until January 4th. So they be spending a lot of time in Sacramento. Is that a good thing right now? I don't know. They're 4-8 at home. Well, they're 6-6 on the road.
Yeah. I just saw Staples Center. An interview from Gentry Arena. Post practice today, and they were saying how they're 6-6 on the road, I think, and then 4-8 at home.
Yeah.
And so you should be taking care of business at home. This gives you that opportunity to flip the script, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Very true.
You know, it could be, it could go pretty or it could go ugly being at home. So, you know, fan wise and everything, it's,
fans have not been showing out.
It's going to be a big month.
Yep.
It's going to be
a lot of important basketball coming up.
A make or break month.
Turning in the page into 2022. Will it be on a good note or a rip the page out of the book, throw it away?
Yeah. Well, because I mean, and if this month goes bad, like while at home, I just don't know how nothing is done at, you know what I mean? Like one way or the other.
Right.
It's hard to envision.
Deadline in February.
Knowing this place, it's hard to envision something not happening. Yeah,
I agree.
So
it's always expect the unexpected with the Sacramento Kings. That has been the one hallmark of this team for the last 16 years. All right. That'll do it for us on this Monday edition of the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. We're going to do the coaching next reveal of two coaching candidates from Jill's list on Wednesday. You can hold us to that and talk about the Orlando game a little bit more then. Thank you guys. Have a good Monday. See you later, dudes.